You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Last week, the Boise City Council unanimously approved the Pathways Master Plan. Now, according to this plan, once finished, more than 75% of Boise residents will live within just a half a mile of a pathway, which the hope is to make it easier to get to work, to get to school, to get to grocery stores, to get to a park. Joining us today to talk more about this are Boise City Council member Jimmy Halliburton and Boise Mayor Lauren McLean. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Morning, Gemma.
Morning, Gemma. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So, Jimmy, I'd like to start the conversation with you because even before you became a council member, you have been a major advocate, not just for bicycle safety, but access to safe pathways. So can you talk a little bit about your history and why you have pushed so long for this idea?
Well, thank you, Gemma. I think it's important to remember that there's been a ton of people pushing for decades, way beyond I have. Even our council president, Elaine Clegg, she's been working on this for longer than I have. But in 2014, while I was working at the Boise Bicycle Project, we had a kid that was hit on his way to school from Garfield Elementary to the bike project on Boise Avenue. And he ended up being okay. His bike was damaged and we got it fixed up at BBP. And we rode him home that day and we were trying to find a better route for him to get home. And we just couldn't find one better than traveling on a road with a 3-foot bike lane and 40 mile an hour traffic. And when I got home, I started doing some Google map searching and came across this long dirt road with no traffic on it whatsoever. And it was a canal access road for 2 miles. This road could have taken him almost all the way to the bike project without interacting with a single car. And so that's really what got me interested is how can we find safe places for kids and families to move around in their neighborhood in enjoyable ways that don't necessarily have access to places like the Greenbelt? And that kind of launched our journey and our work with a bunch of other nonprofits in the city and a bunch of amazing folks at exploring what an off-street network could look like.
And Jimmy, you even likened this new master plan to 50 years ago when the city of Boise first decided to adopt the Greenbelt. And I think it's interesting to think about the fact that only 50 years ago, there was no Greenbelt, right? Because it's really a point of pride, I think, for the city. And is that kind of what you're hoping this next project will be as well?
Well, this is just such an amazing move by Mayor McLean and the office to make sure that the city is connected for everyone. Yeah, I think 50 years ago, there was this idea for the Boise Greenbelt. People thought it was crazy. People thought it was going to be impossible and that it couldn't be done. But there were leaders who stepped up and kept pushing it and put a plan together and passed it. And then they got straight to work at building some of the first pathways. This is a really incredible opportunity where we are going to be putting 112 miles of pathways in every single neighborhood all across the valley. And it really does have the opportunity to be just as historic as the Greenbelt. And people will tell us that it's impossible, that are challenges, that, you know, it's going to be tough to work with some of these different irrigation districts or canal companies or railroads. And we just have to remind ourselves that impossible things have been done before. And the Greenbelt is the perfect example and really can kind of guide our vision of what this could look like in every neighborhood.
Mayor McLean, can you talk about the plan itself? Right now, we have about 50 or so miles of the Greenbelt when we look at Boise City proper. As Jimmy mentioned, the goal is to connect 112 miles to this existing Greenbelt. So, A, can you talk about it more in depth first, the plan itself? But after that, let's discuss maybe where some of these pathways would be.
What this plan does, it's, first off, I should say it's the result of so much community feedback. We had hundreds of people engaging, sharing with us their thoughts and ideas related to where pathways could be or should be and what we ought to be looking at. So we set out to map the existing bikeways, existing pathways, of course, the Greenbelt, and then to map the opportunity. And what that showed us was that there truly is opportunity to see life. And so this plan then goes through identifying the different layers that our city will look at in terms of making decisions on where to invest, how to invest, when to invest, and really attempt to ensure that it creates opportunities for everyone to connect within their own neighborhood and beyond, and then into some of the larger special infrastructure we have, like the Greenbelt.
And Jimmy, talk a little bit more about this idea of connecting more than 75% of our population within a half mile to a pathway once this plan is finished. Because as you mentioned, that accident in 2014, that's only one example of many that we have seen happen in our city, in other cities across the country, frankly. And it is this idea, I think, that we need better access to things like work, school, parks, grocery stores, because there are some people who don't have a car, right? They don't have that kind of access. I mean, kids in particular.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, Gemma. Equity really has to be at the very backbone of this plan. And throughout the task force and the master planning process, what we did is we ended up developing sort of a framework and a structure that would judge different areas by different criteria, equity being one of the major ones. Because there are areas of town that are less connected. They tend to have higher speeds where the kids are traveling. And it doesn't mean that they're still not riding to the library or to school. And a lot of these kids are ones that don't have other transportation options. So we really do have to find the areas that are lacking in these pathways. A really great example is my favorite stretch that has a high priority listing on the plan. Really connects Bora High School all the way to Hillcrest Library. And that's sandwiched between Franklin Boulevard and Overland, you know, two really, really scary streets to bike on. Mm-hmm. And it happens to be a little bit of a lower income neighborhood with a lot of apartment complexes. I fix a lot of bicycles for kids in that neighborhood. And I can just imagine these kids from their house being able to hop on their bike, getting onto this incredible pathway, riding safely all the way to the library, and what our incredible library staff at the city of Boise will be able to help them accomplish. And so these pathways, they do connect people to places, but they also connect them to opportunities to grow and thrive in Boise. And I get to work with these kids every single day. And so I'm so excited as I travel around in their neighborhoods to say, oh, there could be a pathway here at some point, or, oh, this is identified on the plan. And to think about the opportunities that this is going to create for everyone is just unbelievable. You know, it is going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of partnerships and persistence. The canal companies and the railroads both identified on here. People have talked about them being difficult to work for in the past, but I think that's a narrative that we really have to change. These are folks that are really good at doing their job. They're good at getting water to farmers, and they're good at keeping people out of the canals and the dangers there. And so if we can figure out how to partner with them, we really can address some of these equity issues and these access issues and make a win-win scenario, I think, for everybody who's involved.
And I do think you bring up
back on that.
Go ahead.
It's so important that we believe that we can get to yes, right? Instead of saying it can't be done, to ask the question again. And one of my favorite experiences in the last year was ditch riding with the ditch master at the canal company. And you know, we went along these long stretches of canal roads through Southeast Boise into the bench and beyond. We talked about already what they're doing in terms of building relationships with Boiseans that live against the canal banks, and then how we could work together to make that access. So I really just, as Jimmy believes, we share the belief that we can get to yes. And it's the tough work that is the fun work. And when we all share the same vision of connecting each other and providing open spaces and safe ways to move our kids and everyone else in between, I know that we can get there.
And I appreciate that attitude, because I think in so many things, you do have to have that attitude of we'll get to yes. But with that being said, I mean, you, Jimmy, you are going to run up against opposition. I mean, I think it's inevitable. So, I mean, how do you then go about moving this plan forward? Because as we mentioned, I mean, even 50 years ago, there was huge opposition to the Greenbelt.
Gemma, 25 years ago, I was water skiing behind a truck along canal pathway roads with my friends in high school. Like, these people have played and done dangerous things in canals for a long period of time.
Oh, yeah.
People dump their trash in canals. They do all sorts of stuff that really make it difficult for these irrigation companies to do their jobs. There are wins out there, ways that we can work together. And what you find is that when you have pathways, when you have more eyes on the problem, bad things tend to stop happening. Bad behavior tends to stop happening. And we actually see a lot of case studies from countries or from cities all across the country, and even some cities in Idaho, like Twin Falls, where they've gotten pathways along these canals, and they've actually seen less incidents. They've seen less trash going in there. They've seen less people playing, because, you know, people aren't going to play if somebody can actually see them doing it. Or if they do, somebody's going to have eyes on them to help them out. So there are some wins that are here. And I think it's really working with people to figure out what those wins are going to be. I also think that if we can do some low-hanging fruit at the beginning, if we can find some really good places to start and kind of prove our concept, it'll be easier for things to kind of go forward. And so the city's plan, we both have high priorities and we have high feasibility priorities as well. And I think that there's a way for us to address both of those, find those early wins, find ways where we can work together where it really is helpful for everyone. This is something that the community is really, really behind in ways that I haven't experienced on a lot of other efforts. And I think that the mayor's right. Once that momentum gets going, I think a lot of people will jump on board.
Well, I want to thank both of you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to talk with us about this master plan. We've been talking with Boise City Council member Jimmy Halliburton and Boise Mayor Lauren McLean. It is about the master plan to bring 112 miles of safe bicycle and walking access to the city of Boise. Thank you both for your time.
Thanks, Gemma. And shout out to all the volunteers and all the nonprofits and city staff out there that worked on this plan. It really was a wonderful team effort. And thank you, Madam Mayor, for all the support on this one. It's going to be an amazing project.
And we'll have more Idaho Matters next.